The people of Colombia elect the first left-wing government ever. What does this mean for Colombia? And what will this mean for Colombia's relationship with neighboring countries? Today, we ask journalist Pali Martinez, and let's do it on The Public Diplomat. Hey, Pali, welcome.
Hello, how are you here from Bogota?
Awesome, awesome. Wow, what an amazing election. Second round of the elections. And can you give us a little background? Who were the two candidates in the last round, the second round? And give us a little bit of a backgrounder.
Okay, this was a very strange election in Colombia, actually. We had two runner-ups. One, Gustavo Petro, who won the election, his left party member. And we had an old man called Rodolfo Hernandez, late 70s, and he's a constructor. And he ran for office, arguing that he would end corruption. He has some political experience. He was mayor of Bucaramanga, a big city in Colombia, but he was like an outsider, kind of Trump person. So it was very strange for Colombia because the usual political parties were not involved on the final run for the presidency. So we have
Gustavo Petro from the left on one hand. We have Rodolfo Hernandez Suarez, who was a TikTok star in this election, right? And he was on social, he was on TikTok, he was dancing, he was doing amazing things. This is the anti-establishment election. Can you give us a little background? Who is Gustavo Petro?
Okay, Gustavo Petro, you could say, if you compare him to Hernandez, he's the institution kind, although he's outside from like the regular institution. Gustavo Petro is a 61-year-old left-wing politician. He's been a senator. He used to be a guerrilla member of the M19, which demobilized and had a peace process in the 1990s. He was part of that guerrilla. He was very young. He never had like confrontation, or he never like went actually into armed confrontation, but he was a member, like a urban member of that guerrilla. He has done a very successful career as a politician, and he really, really got his best, the best reference you can have from Petro. He did the main Senate discussions about the Odebrecht case, in the, you know, the corruption case. He was the one who brought it to the Colombian awareness. And he also was the one who did a very, very strong accusation in Congress against paramilitaries in Congress. After that investigation, 51 congressmen who had links to paramilitary groups that are like right-hand guerrillas in Colombia had to go into the like regular law process and like all the legal process of being linked to those illegal armed groups. So he's very well known. He is a very good senator. He used to be also the mayor of Bogota. There you have like different opinions if he was good or not in the administrative side of what he did. So it's a controversial balance of what he did as a mayor. And then this was the third time he ran as a presidential candidate. The last one he lost to Iván Duque, actual president of Colombia, and now he won. He won because he, in 2021, he made the Pacto Histórico, historical pact or agreement with all the left-hand side, like political movements, left political movements, and he united them, which was very difficult in Colombia. And that was the group that put him into office at the end.
So I have to ask you a question. It sounds like both candidates are running against corruption, they're running against the establishment, but what the left means in Colombia and what the left means in South America in particular is of great interest. With all the influx of refugees from Venezuela, with everything that the people of Colombia have seen from the socialist government next door to them, what does it mean? What version of the left does Petro really represent and his coalition of the left?
Okay, which version? We will have 4 years to see which one at the end he represents. But in Colombia is different from the rest of South America, at least, because we've had for almost 60 years left guerrillas. So in Colombia, left democratic parties are seen somehow as tied to the guerrillas, which is not necessarily the case. So we have been very, very, how would you say, against left parties. That's the truth. So the arrival of Gustavo Petro really rocked the structure of the Colombian politics. What does he represent if you think about, for example, Venezuela? Now in Latin America, you have to have in mind that the Venezuelan case is not seen as a positive one. We have 2 million refugees here in Colombia that came from Venezuela. So I don't think it's going to be that Castro-Chavista thing. They say that everything is going to resemble what Maduro has done. And that very poor government and administration he has carried out. When Gustavo Petro is asked about his government, how he sees his future administration, he talks more like of a Lula kind of government, or the same as the Chilean president, Michelle Bachelet. He identifies himself with that kind of left government and not with Chavez or Cuba or Nicaragua. But the country is divided. He won with a 52% vote. It's 11,200,000 and something. But Hernandez had 10.5 million votes. So if you see it from that point, there's a very right-hand side of the country that was in power for the last 20 years. And now this left person, representative, comes. So he has to do, he has to gain governance, first of all, and to make a coalition with all the parties. That's what he's doing right now. The national agreement, a very big national agreement, because he knows that he won't be able to make what he planned or what he offered in his program, at least the basic thing, if he doesn't have the support from different political parties. So that's what he's doing now.
Okay. So in many ways, would you say that Petro will have to provide a much more practical leftism, one that works together with the establishment, with the center? And even though he ran against the establishment, he has to work within the confines and the rules of the establishment.
Yeah, he's always said that he runs a place with the rules. That was something that Hernandez was not willing to do. But Petro, that's why I was telling you, he's much more into institutions than Hernandez was. But that means that, yes, he has to make agreements with different parties and different views. He did that running to the second round of the presidential election, because he knew that if he didn't bring in some of the team from the Liberal Party and some of like the Green Party, he wouldn't get into office. So he is doing that type of agreements. And but he's also saying, I will do the agreements. I want to have agreements, But the basics of my program will still stand. I'm not going to negotiate my program, the one I was elected with. But we do need consensus on the basics.
Speaking of coalitions, can you speak about the electoral coalitions for both Suarez and Petro? Who were the coalition of voters for each side?
Okay, Suarez didn't have a coalition. Suarez picked what was left of the right political parties in Colombia that lost. Nobody expected Hernández to be the second runner-up in this election. Nobody. It was thought of like the candidate that was signaled by the Centro Democrático, Álvaro Uribe, and the ruling party right now in government was the one who was going to get to fight for the presidency with Petro. It didn't happen. It was a very big surprise. So all the right side parties just went and worked for Hernández. And what I was telling you before, since the Colombians are very afraid of the left as the left as a whole, without distinguishing if it's guerrilla or not or whatever, many Colombians prefer to vote against Petro. They were not with Hernández, but they were against Petro, which is very common in Colombia. You vote against someone.
So who did vote for Petro? Was it young people, farmers, rural?
Petro, the Petro's coalition, the original one, the Pacto Histórico, got all the left-wing parties together. It means from the communists, the most extreme, to the center, left-center kind of party. That was the basic coalition he worked with. It means social movements, young movements, women, gender, indigenous, ethnic, Afro-Colombian, also people from the center who were not willing to continue with a right-wing party in government. He got also all like the how do you call that? The sindicatos. I forgot the word.
Syndicates, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. From teachers, workers, so all that kind of
the
social
union,
movement, the union, sorry. Mm-hmm. He got all them together and worked into this coalition. Afterwards, on the second round, people from the center, people from the liberal party that are more like social democracy kind of more turned to the left without being completely in the left as a left party, also were there with him. And many others that understood that he was going to win and wouldn't get out of the boat at that point. Many opportunist politicians also, and he welcomed them because he needed the votes. He knew that if he didn't get as much people and parties together, he wouldn't make it to the presidency because he had the other half against him. So
absolutely.
That's what he did, and he won.
So Petro is the first, he's going to build the first left-wing government in Colombia's history. His vice president is the first Afro-Colombian. Can you please give us a little background about Francia Márquez?
Francia Márquez is a very interesting woman. She's almost 40 years old. She's Afro-Colombian, and she embodies all the all like the pains, you could say, that live in the territories in Colombia. She's a Black woman. She was displaced. She has been attacked. She earned her lawyer degree with lots of work and effort. And she grew as a social leader, starting in her own very small city and where she was against mining. She comes from a family of artisan miners, but then the illegal miners came in destroying the places where they lived, the surroundings, nature. So she started her social movement from that part in the environmental scenery. Actually, she won the Goldman Prize in 2018, which is like the Nobel Prize for environment. So she has done her part, a very long journey as a social leader. And then she was part of the left Pacto Histórico, and she was running as a candidate. And surprisingly, she got the second largest votes after Petro. And there was an agreement within the Pacto Histórico that the second runner-up was going to be the vice president formula for Petro. That was a huge discussion because nobody thought she was going to make it. At the end, Petro accepted her as a vice president. She had like 800,000 votes. And I think in this election, she did put like 1,200,000 votes. So she has her own people backing her. It's not like this figure that Petro put there. And she has a very strong will and a very interesting woman.
Very inspirational. It sounds like she's winning against all odds every single time. All right. So let's talk about the first 100 days. What do you think will be on Petro's desk the first 100 days? What are the key agenda items for his government?
Okay. He has announced already, and he's working right now, as I was saying, in this national coalition agreement. I think that's going to take part of what he needs to do. Because if he doesn't have that agreement, Congress will be very difficult to manage for him. At this point, he has enough senators and congressmen on his side to carry out the first year of changes or laws he wants to change, which is good for him. But he has to make coalitions and decisions. So that's part, like from a political side, that kind of agreement will take most of his agenda. Then the fiscal reform, that's the main issue because we have a very big fiscal deficit. We have an economic problem, and he will be working on that. He has shared, not directly, but through his advisors, what he thinks the reform should look like. And that's going to be very tough in Congress. So that's like the second thing. He's going to build up relationships with the U.S. government and with Venezuela. Venezuela opening again the diplomatic relationships and the frontier, which has been closed or kind of closed. So that's other of his priorities. I think that will get most of his attention.
Well, this will be a very interesting outcome in the first 100 years, an anti-establishment candidate working within the establishment to bring true reform to the people of Colombia. This will be interesting, not only in terms of domestic politics, but also to see how the neighbors of Colombia and South America, maybe the Chilean, the Argentinians, you know, you spoke about Venezuela. Let's see how this election will impact or turn the tides of left-wing, right-wing dynamics within South America. Polly, any final thoughts on this election? What should people from the outside think about when they think about Gustavo Petro and his new government and Colombia moving forward?
I think the first thing is we have to take away the everybody looks frightened. So we have to give him a chance, at least. He has been running and playing within the rules. He knows very well Congress, government, all the institutions. So that has to be taken into account. The other thing that the people in the country were asking for a change. And I think that making that change happen within institutions, it's the best thing for Colombia. So I would say that from the external part, from the U.S., working with Petro is the best idea. Working against Petro and 50% of the people that elected him and feel they have never had the chance to decide on their future would be a huge mistake. Petro is a leader, and you can expect him to gain leadership within South America and Latin America, because the other figures are very, very discredited. And maybe he can bring some kind of agreement on how to deal with Latin America in a different way. That's why he has told already the Biden government to think about sitting down and talking with Latin America in a different way. So he's going to ride the tide, the left tide from Colombia, and we can expect him to do some changes and be a distinguished leader from the left in the region.
Well, sounds good. And we will definitely wish President Petro good luck, and always good luck to the wonderful people of Colombia. We love Colombia down up here. And thank you, Polly, so much for joining us today. And thank you to all of our listeners. You remember, you can watch us on YouTube, listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TikTok, everywhere we are, Instagram, everywhere there is internet, we're there, Public Diplomat. For Polly Martinez, and I'm Guy Golan. Thank you all. Have a great day.